So we are continuing this morning our journey through the sacred season of Advent. It's a time of waiting, of anticipating, of praying for God's healing, the transformative power of God to be ever more vibrantly felt in this world. Man, we need that now more than ever, don't we? We need that transformative power, that inbreaking of the holy now more than ever. With all that is going on in the world today, we watch the news, we wring our hands. We need that healing presence. Our theme through this season has been inspired by a poem that was found scrawled on the wall of a cellar at the end of World War II. The poem goes like this: I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God even when he is silent. Each week, we have looked at the Christmas story through each of the four different gospels. We started by looking at Mark's gospel, which is the shortest, the briefest, most action-packed of all the gospels. He doesn't even have time to tell the story of the birth at all, but instead begins with the baptism of Jesus. And then we looked at John's gospel, which sounds almost poetic, lyrical. It's meant to inspire people to faith. He tells the story, the origin story, not from the time of his birth, but connects it all the way back to the beginning of time. And last week we looked at the story of the Annunciation to Mary in Luke's gospel. Luke, as I mentioned, was somewhat of a journalist, the longest of the four Gospels. He details all of the events of Jesus' birth as an important way of understanding, helping us understand who Jesus was. And today, we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, which was written for a Jewish community, a biblically literate crowd. Matthew begins by carefully connecting Jesus, his heritage and history to the Jewish faith. Just prior to what we'll be hearing today, he lists this long genealogy. We see past the struggles connected to the present, but also connect him to the future. This child is a product of a historical lineup of generations that will be a sign that God is with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Whereas Luke tells the story from Mary's perspective, Matthew tells the story from Joseph's side. This is the only gospel in which Joseph appears, interestingly enough. And even now, he appears in chapter 1, he disappears by chapter 2, and never does he say even a single word. But as we'll hear, he is one who speaks not with words, but rather with actions. In the story before us, we hear of Joseph's radical act in a situation that gave him every reason to cut and run. So I invite you to listen now to Matthew's gospel.
Today's scripture reading is found in the Gospel of Matthew, Chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Here begins the reading. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Here ends the reading, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So it seems a little, doesn't it, like there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And just this week, the first of the coronavirus vaccines were given. But we've been told to be careful that we are not out of the woods, that it will take months for everyone to be vaccinated. On the same day that some of the healthcare workers who have been on the front lines of this pandemic were given the first of the vaccines, was the very same day that we surpassed 300,000 deaths here in the United States from COVID-19. Right now, there are over 110,000 Americans in the hospital, and a little over one person dies every minute. We are told it will be a long, hard winter, despite the light at the end of the tunnel. It might be helpful for us to remember that in biblical times, there were pandemics. The Bible calls them pestilence or plagues. Pestilence is mentioned more than 50 times in the Bible. But the biblical writers don't know about germs, about viruses that cause diseases. When they faced an outbreak of disease, their only conclusion was that this rapid spread of the illness must have been the work of God. But we know better than that today, or at least we should. I do not believe for one second that God sent this. Neither should you. But yet I believe with all that I am that God is with us in the midst of it, doing what God always does, comforting, healing, consoling, wringing good out of the midst of adversity. I think over time we will discover that there are plenty of silver linings that have been found in these frightening turn of events. Already the world has changed in many ways for the better. There is tragedy and death, yes, but there is also life and hope. There's goodness. There is love. Now, you may be asking, what does all this have to do with Advent, with Christmas? And to that, I would say everything, I think. Fear is in the air today, just as it was again and again in the lives of God's people in the Bible. That's why the most frequent commandment that was uttered in biblical times, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And when God or the angel or the prophet would say that, see the look of confusion on the person with whom they were speaking, they would remind them, do not be afraid because God is with us. That more than anything else is at the heart of the Christmas story. That the God who has always been with us comes to us in the flesh, in the person of Jesus. As Matthew said in retelling the story, all this took place to fulfill what had been spoken to the Lord through the prophet. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, the prophet said, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't that the essence of what we celebrate at Christmas? That God took on flesh, that God entered into this world, into our lives as a human being, that God experienced what we experience, that God and Jesus experienced things like temptation and love and hunger and joy, friendship, grief, doubt, rejection, and yes, even death. There is something profoundly moving about that, isn't there? About how God actually knowing what we are going through, experiencing the full range of human emotions. About a year ago, just before all of this broke all of this happened, either in a moment of brilliance or a stroke of good luck, or maybe somewhere in between. Here at University Christian Church, we made the decision to launch a new ministry, a ministry of amazing non-paid staff members here at UCC that we call Congregational Care Ministers, or CCMs. In that first class of CCMs, there were 13 of them. They are called, they are trained to care for our members as they walk through hard times, as you walk through hard times. In the last several months, those 13 people have made over 1,200 contacts with people that sit in our pews and even beyond. And most of those CCMs have been through difficult situations themselves. Some have lost a spouse or a child. They've gone through a divorce. They've survived cancer. Now, when a member of our congregation is going through something, it means something for one of us who's a pastor to go and to care for them. But there is a qualitative difference. Qualitative difference in care when a CCM who has gone through that same experience sits with them. Someone who's recovered from that same cancer that they've got, who's walked in their shoes, who knows their pain, who has survived the darkness that they are experiencing, it makes all the difference. That's what is so powerful about this idea of incarnation, of God taking on flesh, of entering into this world with us. That God doesn't just imagine what we're going through, doesn't just imagine what it's like to be human, because how could an all-powerful God know what it's like to be weak and afraid, to be tempted, to be hurt? Because in Jesus, God became flesh. You see, God knows the smell of rain on a summer day. God knows the taste of warm bread and a nice Pinot Noir, the joy of sharing it with someone special. God knows the beauty of a sunset, how the human heart feels when it loves deeply, how it breaks open with the intensity of grief when that person dies. God knows what it's like to laugh until you cry, to be angry, to be afraid. You see, God has experienced these things in the flesh. At the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew is telling us that Jesus is God with us, Emmanuel. And at the end of the Gospel, he recounts Jesus' final words to his disciples, "I am with you always, to the end of the age," he says. You see, it's not just that God is with us in Jesus, but that Jesus continues to be with us, that God is still Emmanuel. And because I believe that God is with me, I live differently. I have a sense of peace. I find strength in that. You see, Jesus came to incarnate God's presence, to love humanity in this way. But before he left this earth, he called us to do the very same thing. And so we, as followers of Jesus, are intended to put on the flesh of this invisible God, to incarnate God for the world. The Apostle Paul reminds us that the church is to be the body of Christ. We are the ongoing incarnation of God. Dr. Philip Ireland was an emergency medical physician in Liberia several years ago when the Ebola outbreak took place. Now, most of the Western doctors at the time fled as fast as they could, but Dr. Ireland stayed. "These are my people," he would say. But then, after a few days, he became violently ill himself. In one night that he feared might be his last, he found himself in a hospital ward, laying on the floor on a plastic sheet. And he got terribly sick. He vomited over and over and over again until he finally passed out. And the next morning, he woke up he says, barely alive in a sea of mess. It was then that a nurse by the name of Patrick came and cared for him. He cleaned him up from head to toe. He got him dressed. He helped him get into a real bed. And then he prayed for him. He prayed with him. And after he recovered, Dr. Ireland would later say that his act of love towards me to wash me, he said, was so much that I will never forget it in my entire lifetime. That nurse was Emmanuel for Dr. Ireland. He incarnated, he put flesh on the presence, the love and mercy of God. There are hundreds of thousands of stories just like that in the midst of this pandemic that are yet to be told. Of nurses, of doctors working on the front lines who are, whether they would call it or not, incarnating God's presence to others in this horrible time. You see, the essence of our faith as followers of Jesus, of people who take on the name of Christian, is to share the love and the presence of God. To recognize that God's love comes not just to us, but also through us. I heard the story recently of a little 4-year-old boy whose next door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife from COVID-19. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went and sat in the man's lap. Just sat there. Later, his mother asked him what he had said. He said, "Nothing. I said nothing. I just helped him cry." "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son," the prophet said, "and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Because he is Emmanuel, Jesus knows and understands you. Your struggles, your anger, your temptations, your pain. Because he is Emmanuel, he is able to show us who God is, what God is like. You see, this child, which comes to us in the most surprising of ways, comes to remind us that God is with us, always has been, always will be, and we do not need to be afraid. And he calls us, as people of faith, to go in his name and to love others as we have been loved, to incarnate the very love of God. May this be our call on this day and every day. Amen.